Before we begin, if I didn't learn anything else in the past 3 weeks, I learned what a joy and a privilege it is to gather with the Lord's people on a weekly basis. You know, we all, back in March and April and into May, when we were doing stuff kind of online and doing that thing, right? Like, we were all in the same position at the time. But to be without the common grace, or the special grace of gathering with the Lord's people, to hear His word preached, to hear His word sung, to hear His word prayed, man, I just hope you come in here on the Lord's Day with a palpable sense of joy in the gospel, right? As we come to worship and lift up God and glorify Him. And if you don't have that joy, it's there to be had, right? It's there. And if that joy is not present with you, if that's hard, that's okay. Like, there is medicine for that ailment. And I would love for you to come and chat with me or Brother Cody or a brother next to you who you can just see in their face the joy that they have in Christ Jesus. With that, we continue our walk through the gospel according to Matthew. We're in chapter 13, and we're going to be in three verses, verse 31 through 33, continuing our march through the parables. And the parables, as you recall, first, can we just thank Brother Cody for stepping up, especially that first week on short notice when I'm like, bro, my family's got the COVID. I need you to step up, brother. But anyway, I thought he did a phenomenal job holding forth God's word. So just thank him for his faithfulness there. But anyway, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and following. The parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. This is what Holy Scripture says. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened." Father, as we come before your word, Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity, open up our hearts to the goodness of your word, remove all distractions. Teach us, O Lord, that as we proclaim your word and receive your word, this is in fact an act of worship. As the scriptures unfold who you are, what you have done, and how we are to respond in light of that truth. So, Father, open our hearts. Let us see your word and receive it with gladness. In Jesus' name, amen. You will recall that a parable, para meaning beside, literally means to throw alongside a story. It's to take common things to reveal, in this case, heavenly realities. It's Jesus taking things that are known in that day and telling a story and saying, "Hey guys, look, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like." That's what Brother Cody has been expounding as he opened up these parables, these kingdom stories. And sometimes, and in this case of this parable, oftentimes, we learn that great things come in small, inconsequential packages. You see, these parables that Christ has put before us this morning, at the very least, they say that it's about something small turning into something big. It's about something insignificant, inconsequential, apparently, turning into something substantial, even exponential, right? And so he's saying, look, the kingdom of heaven, it's like this. Well, maybe mustard seeds and leaven aren't as common in our modern day speech. So let me put something else before you. What's something else that we have that's small apparently inconsequential, but it has had magnificent and almost unbelievable outcomes. Well, consider the alphabet, the English alphabet. 26 apparently unrelated, very tiny, inconsequential letters. And then consider the billions and billions and billions of published works that has come out of these 20 small, apparently inconsequential letters. Did you ever think about that? Tiny little letters. We all learned a song. But from only these 26 letters come all the works of English that we have come to enjoy. Mark Twain, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. I was convinced I was going to be a river pirate till I found out that was illegal. From those very books. How about Rowling's The Harry Potter series? Capturing the imaginations of children and enhancing their love for the written word and literature. J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, who put in magnificent splendor the comparison between good and evil. And that good can, in fact, overcome through inconsequential, weak, underestimated hobbits. The U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, notes on lunchboxes from a mom to her child, or from a fiancé to their loved one. All from 26 seemingly inconsequential, tiny little letters. Yes, great things often come from insignificant and humble beginnings. And today Jesus will show us two parables that will give us two reasons to hope. Two reasons to hope. And these two reasons in which Jesus gives us hope, we're going to see that unfold in three different spheres. So we're going to see two parables that give us two reasons for hope, and we're going to see that unfold in three different areas. And if you don't grab anything else from this, if you don't hear anything else, get this. Do not underestimate the power of the gospel. Do not underestimate the power of the gospel and its overarching effect. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us here in these two different parables. We'll take up the first one, the mustard seed. Let me read the passage again. It says, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that even the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. The gospel works from small beginnings to great outcomes. The gospel works from small beginnings to great outcomes. This is what we see in the parable of the mustard seed. And the reason I say the gospel and not the kingdom of God, it is because the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, is the means whereby the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, advances. You see, God has given us means, and he himself, what did Jesus do when he took up his ministry? He came and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. He proclaimed, he spoke words to people. And it was through his message that the kingdom of heaven advanced. And in this one parable, we can make three observations about how the gospel advances from small beginnings to great outcomes. First, the beginning of the work of the gospel is small. It's almost imperceptible. And Jesus says it's as tiny as a mustard seed. And see, in Palestine, in the area in which where Jesus was teaching, the mustard seed was likely the smallest of all the garden seeds. Tiny. Do I have any chefs or people who like to cook in here? Even if you don't like that, you got the Google. Go look up a mustard seed. Tiny little sucker. All right? And it's from this tiny little seed that is put into the field, up and blossoms and flourishes into this large plant in which birds can come and nest and find shelter. The kingdom of heaven, the advance of the gospel starts in small, almost imperceptible ways. This parable, this mustard seed, stood as a parable as minutiae, right? Minute, apparently inconsequential. Remember when Jesus told us, even if you have faith as small as what? Faith as small as a mustard seed, that faith can move mountains. He taught us using the mustard seed again. Again, minutiae. That the tiniest of faith, because it is faith in Christ, is absolutely substantial. So the gospel begins in small, imperceptible ways. The gospel works slow, but gives steady growth. The gospel works slow, but gives steady growth. Anybody in here besides me lack patience? Could be just me. I remember when I was a little boy, I stayed at my great-grandparents a lot, Irma Lee and Herb Wood. I would stay at their place, and they always had a garden, and my grandma always had these flower bushes, which these rose bushes, man, I'm convinced they were like magnets to bicycles. Because invariably, I would be riding my bicycle down this little sidewalk trying to split the house, and I would just, boom, into the rose bushes every time. And out would come the tweezers and a lot of screaming. And my grandma would spend the afternoon plucking rose thorns out of my skin. But these rose bushes that she would, beautiful rose bushes that she would tend and care for, they didn't just come out of nowhere, right? Often in the wintertime, in prep for the spring, she would take these bulbs and put them in these pots and then shove them under her bed to start the growth of this beautiful rose, right? And so she would do this, and I remember as a kid, I would go in there, and we would plant the bulbs in the thing, and she'd stick them under the bed. And then, like, the next day, I'd run in there, and I'd jump under the bed, and I'd look. I'm like, Grandma, where's the rose? Like, we planted this thing yesterday. Where's it at? She's like, no, grandson, it's going to take months before even the tiniest little bud comes in. And then it's going to take time after that for this rose to grow up into the beautiful ones that we see outside. The gospel is kind of like that. It works slow, sometimes imperceptibly seeing the work that it is doing, but it is steady and it is always working. And then the third observation we see from this parable of the mustard seed is that the gospel work will result in magnificent, large ends. So though its beginning is slow and small, its growth might be slow, but it will be steady. The end of the gospel work is magnificent. So much so that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be represented within the kingdom of heaven. Ezekiel 17:23, and I'm pretty sure when Jesus talks about the birds nesting in its branches, is referring back to this prophecy in Ezekiel 17:23, and it says this, on the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And get this, under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And if you continue reading Ezekiel 17, you will find out that these birds are, in fact, the nations. The nations. Every tribe, tongue, and people will come and dwell within the harbor of the gospel. They will find shelter and protection and a home. You see, the mustard seed, though it is the smallest of all the seeds, will grow up and have magnificent ends. The gospel works from small beginnings to great outcomes. Second, we consider the parable of the leaven. Parable of the leaven, verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Again, we can make 3 observations concerning the growth of the kingdom of God. Is anybody, like my daughter Riley, man, she's just got a baking, I don't know what you call it. It was gardening, I call it a green thumb. She's got a flower thumb, right? This girl can bake, man. Like, only equal to maybe the agricultural ones, and this is still agricultural, but Jesus takes us from the garden into the house. And usually in the New Testament, leaven is seen as something evil, right? And it's seen as something evil because, like, Jesus will say at other times, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why? Because leaven, once it takes hold to the flour, is pervasive and it will affect all that it touches. And so Jesus also uses this story of the leaven to warn us about sowing evil. But likewise, in this case, he uses leaven in a positive way. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. You see, she puts this leaven, which is a lump, broke off from the last batch, and she sticks it into the flour, and this leaven adheres to the flour and then spreads all the way through it until all is affected. So again, we see that this gospel works successfully by degrees in imperceptible ways until it accomplishes all of its purposes. The gospel advances by degrees, not all at once. And we got to know that when Jesus put these parables before the people, this is after John the Baptist came in and made it seem as though when the Messiah stepped onto the scene the first time, it was going to just instantly and magnificently overthrow all the things that the Jerusalem was struggling with, namely the Roman Empire. And Jesus, although that's true, but that's not at the first coming, that's at the second coming. The second coming, there will be a flash of light and all will be instantaneously made right. But with this first coming, it's almost imperceptible, unseen, and steady. We cannot see hearts transform. Sometimes it seems as though no progress is being made at all. Eventually the fruit will bud, but it takes time. When someone comes to Christ, they do not just instantly become grown up into the likeness of King Jesus. It takes a lifetime. And at times it will be slow, apparently stagnant, and it will be unseen. But it is steady. Even when we cannot see the leaven doing its work within the flour, it's doing its work. It's advancing by degrees. And the same is true in the work of the gospel. God's working is steady and true, though unseen. But then lastly, we learn from this parable that the growth of the gospel, the advancement of the gospel will be comprehensive. It will be comprehensive. Jesus says this woman put leaven in 3 measures of flour. 3 measures was enough to feed about 100 people. Bread for 100 people coming out of one little lump of leaven. And that will permeate all the flour in which it has come into contact with. Loved ones, the same is true of the gospel. The gospel works when you cannot see it. It works steadily, and its final outcome will be comprehensive. It will be total. Small things become great things when God is the one working. So now what are we going to do with this? I want to offer you three spheres where we see the gospel transformation, and I want us to draw hope from that. Okay? The gospel works in three different spheres. And the spheres are these: the cosmic, the corporate, and then the personal. Sorry, my preaching's only so good, I ran out of C's. All right? But the gospel advances, the kingdom of heaven advances in the cosmic sphere, the corporate sphere, and the personal sphere. The cosmic sphere. And by this, I mean the new heavens and the new earth. As we look out on the scene and we see all the brokenness, all the evil, all the pain, all the hardship, know that this creation is being renewed day by day. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And where is this cosmic restoration coming from? Well, it's advancing through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, a lowly Galilean carpenter who was despised and crucified while he was in fact the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We crucified the Lord of glory. And I promise you, if you were walking in the streets of Galilee at the time, you would not have seen Jesus and went, "Oh my gosh, there he stands, the Son of God." That's not how this would have worked out. There was no little halo around Jesus' head 24/7. He looked like a common, feeble carpenter. And from that, he went and died a most treacherous death that was called a curse. To be crucified on a cross was to be cursed by God. And this gospel, this crucified Lord, is making all things new. We have to understand the way the kingdom of God works. You see, there's never been a time when the kingdom of God was not present. But as time and space work itself out, the kingdom of God is in different phases. And see, when Jesus stepped on the scene, that was the kingdom of heaven inaugurated. It began. We're getting danger close into the Advent season where we celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus. And so now we are in this period that we call the already, but the not yet. Already, the kingdom of God has broke into the present age. Already, the Lord of glory has shown himself and been crucified and resurrected and ascended. But not yet are all things made new. Not yet are all of the redeemed ushered in. Not yet are we resurrected unto glory. But, loved ones, it is coming. Everything that you look out and see that is broken is going to be made new. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12, put it this way. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Guys, that is where this is going. Think 2020 has been a turd? Relax. It's going here. We know where this is going. It's going to not just be okay. It's going to be awesome. All right? So first sphere, the cosmic sphere. Then we bring it in a circle, and we take it to the corporate sphere. That's the church, beloved. The church. The vehicle whereby the kingdom of heaven advances is through local churches. Yes, we confess the universal church of all believers in all times and all places, but that is built up through local churches. And think of it. The gospel beginnings of 12 disparate men when all hope seemed lost. They had just lost their Savior, and he went up into heaven. And though he had told them, I will never leave you or forsake you. I promise you, standing on that mountain, watching your resurrected Lord go into the heavens. I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, man, that looks like leaving. Right? And he said, but listen, stay here and wait, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And look what happened. Y'all, that was across the ocean in Jerusalem. We're standing in Lafayette County, Missouri. It's working. Because right now, I can find you a gospel church from the east coast of China to the west coast of California. I can take you from L.A. to Beijing and find you a gospel fellowship. So it's working. Already it is happening. The church is being built up. It may be like a mustard seed, but it will result in a tree in which all the nations will find their refuge. Maybe like a little lump of leaven that we can't see advancing. But see, all that's yet too unpersonal. Look here. Look here. Look to your left and right. Look in front of you and behind you. Church, we're not the only church that has seen roughly half of their attendance drop in the wake of COVID-19. Many of those who are not present today are not present for very good reasons. Some, I fear, once they lost the habit of just doing what they do on a Sunday, day in and day out, week in and week out, once that habit was broken, there was not enough zeal to bring them back. But look around you. The culture is not exactly enthralled with the idea of the gospel of the kingdom, and yet here we are. I'm looking at generations from like 7 to at least 75, 80 years of age. I'm looking at people who are born again. I'm looking at the same gospel, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same word that the 12 apostles went out with. I'm looking at all that, and we have the same tools, the same power, the same good news. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You see, gates are the defensive place. You see, through the gospel, through the advance of the gospel, we are storming the gates of hell. We are on the offense. And when the Lord of glory was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, he put his boot on the skull of that wily serpent, and he's standing there right now. Satan can do no more with you than what Jesus allows. Guys, we still got the same power to build the church. Right now, there's a gospel word getting ready to get planted. Brother Chad Nixon from Greeton Baptist Church, lovely church over there on the hill. Chad Nixon, he's beginning a new work in Lake Lafayette. This brother has no, formal theological education, but he's been following Jesus for, I'm guessing, 50 years. He supported the work at Valor Church in Knobnostra, Missouri, and the Lord has raised him up to go start a gospel work in Lake Lafayette. I pray that we will support and lift them up and help them along the way. We're not in any kind of competition. We want to see this community restored. We want to see the lost become found. We want to see the dead be given life. And Jesus, by degrees, though it seems imperceptible, is doing his work right now. So take heart, church. And then the last fear. We've covered the cosmic. We've covered the corporate. And now we got to cover the personal. That's you. That's me. Jesus, the gospel, though we are sick and depraved and heinous sinners, devoid of any spiritual good, God, by his gospel in Christ, has made you and me sons and daughters of the living God. You were alienated and hostile, doing evil, and you were happy about it. That's either where you were or where you are today. And yet, Jesus has taken out that heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh. Church, I know there are days when it seems like nothing is happening. Like, Lord, I'm no more holy today than I was 15 years ago. I keep sinning the same sins. I keep doing the same stuff over and over. And like a fool, I think I'm going to get a different result out of doing the same stuff. The same worthless joy appeals to me, knowing that it's going to kill me. But listen, God is working in you even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it. Right now, today, he's doing his work in you, and it will go forward until the mustard seed becomes a tree and the leaven has permeated all of the flower. Let me close with a couple of passages for you to seal this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Church, you are being renewed day by day from one degree of glory to the next, until we all grow up into the fullness of Christ. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will bring that work to completion. So take heart. Take heart. And I leave you with this from Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. You can't earn it. You don't need to grab it. Because God desires and indeed enjoys handing you the kingdom of heaven. We know this. Why? Because he handed us his Son. How will he who did not spare his own son, how will he not give us all things? All things. Take heart. It's going to be okay. Would you pray for me? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love. We thank you for your permeating power. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see what is in fact unseen. I believe it's the writer of the Hebrews who says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things yet unseen. Father, we trust that your gospel is going forward, that the word will not return void. So as week by week, day by day, moment by moment, as we gather and we worship and we praise, Lord, lift up our hearts. Give us a renewed sense of the joy of your presence. Father, teach us to trust, to trust. If the message of the Bible does not tell us anything else, it screams out loud, trust you. Father, would you teach us to trust that you are at work in all things? Father, help us to see this and to go about our work knowing that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.